Good morning, and thank you again for joining us here on the Home Church live stream. My name is Michael Metzger, and we're so glad that you decided to join us this morning. Before we get into our time of worship, we have just a few announcements to share with you. First of all, let's just stop and take a minute to worship God. For those of you who don't know, we as a church, we've been praying for Gary and Patty Gavika for quite some time now. And this morning, I'm excited to let you guys know that Gary now has two kidneys. The doctors found a match this week, and he and Patty were back at the hospital for surgery. Everything went well. Gary's now out of the hospital, and he is home recovering. We just want to praise God, give him all the glory for this answered prayer. Gary and Patty, we love you, and we just ask, church, that you continue praying for Gary's recovery through this time. And just a reminder that due to the coronavirus, our church offices are going to remain closed until June 5th. Our worship leader, Josh, and our worship team have something special planned for you this week. They're going to be posting a video to our new YouTube channel and our Facebook page this Wednesday at 7 p.m. So please be sure to tune in and join us for a wonderful time of worship. And next Sunday is Mother's Day, and we're going to have a special service planned. We're going to be having a drive-in service next week. Mike McDaniel and Pastor Carlos sent out an email earlier this week with some additional information. We're going to be doing everything that we can to remain safe during the service. The service is going to be broadcast through an FM transmitter, and everyone's going to remain in their vehicles with their windows up while tuned into the radio station in order to hear the sermon. We're going to be sending out another email later this week with further instructions. So we're very excited about this opportunity, and we can't wait to see everybody who's able to make it next week. As we prepare to move into our time of worship and giving, we want to thank all of those who have been faithful in your tithes and offerings. Please continue to give through our website online or mail a check to the church if you're able to do so. If you can't give online or by mailing a check, please reach out to myself or another board or staff member, and we'll make arrangements to make sure that your tithe or offering is received to honor God and keep supporting his work here at Home Church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we exalt you, O Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness and for being the one true constant in our lives. Lord, we ask that you bless the tithes that we bring before you today. Use these offerings to expand your kingdom, not just here in our city, not in our state, but throughout our country and throughout our foreign lands. Lord, as we're separated in our individual houses, we have all gathered for the same reason, Lord, and that is to worship and praise you. Father God, you are welcome here. Fill our houses, our cars, our offices, wherever we might be listening to this message today, Father God, and make your presence known to us. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.
So as we get ready to step into a time of worship, church, before Josh leads us into the throne room of God, I want to read a scripture that I hope settles with you before the sermon even begins. Philippians 4:13, if you could turn there with me. Philippians 4:13. It reads, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let that settle with your soul as we get into this worship, as we sing praises to the King of Kings, as we glorify his name wherever you're at. Amen.
Amen, amen. Let's all stand to our feet. If you're in your living room, if you're in your car, I understand you can't stand. But if you're able to, I would encourage you to stand to your feet as we worship our King, our Lord, and our Savior. Hallelujah. Of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. We live for you. And holy, and there is no one like you, there is none beside you. You open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around. The name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Yeah. there is none beside you. You open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Sing with me. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. And open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, oh.
To get excited for Jesus. Oh, yeah. Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you high, see you high.
sing with me.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. We worship you. We glorify your name. Come visit us this morning. As we go into your word, prepare our hearts right now. God, those, God, who are hurting, those, God, who are lost, those who need a touch, a miracle this morning. God, I would ask, God, that you would just touch those, God, who are in need of you right now. You say in your word, God, if we have a need, God, that you will meet that need, Lord, and we are believing. We are believing you right now, Lord. We believe in you, God. We thank you. Hallelujah. We worship you. Bless this sermon. Bless your words. We can't do this without you. And we thank you in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Josh, for leading us into worship this morning. What a beautiful time it always is. I want to give a special thanks before we go any further to our security team for all they do behind the scenes, checking in on our church, our building, our property. Brother Ron, Mark, and Steve, and if I forgot somebody else, I apologize, but you know who you are. We so appreciate you. We also want to thank our brother Israel for coming and taking care of the grass and fixing sprinklers and doing things here and there, cutting things, even during a time when no one is here. So Israel, thank you so very much if you're listening in. We appreciate you. Hallelujah. So we are embarking, I would say in a few weeks, on a six-month mark, and man, how time flies. As I was praying and going over notes again and what God has been doing, what he has done, I couldn't help but to remember remembrance and how a church, we remembered Christ dying for our sins and how he shed his blood and how they hung him high and stretched him wide and every drop of blood was poured out for our sins and how we took communion and prayed and remembered what God did. And as we stepped from there to Jonah Many of us realized we had some Jonahs in our lives, and some might have been the Jonah. And we threw off the Jonah or got thrown off, amen? And God dealt with us, and from Jonah, faith, hope, and love. We talked about faith and hope, and those are two amazing things, but love is the greatest of these. And from there, we went into the armor of God. Suit up. They're coming. And I'll never forget, a few asked, who's coming? I had no idea COVID was going to hit. And obviously, we don't fight against flesh and blood. But worry, stress, and fear hit this nation, our world, like I've never seen. Get ready, he's coming. And then from there, we went to get ready, he's coming, right? So suit up, they're coming. To get ready, he's coming. We spoke about how Christ is coming back for his church, amen? He's coming back for his bride. And then into remembering to forgive during COVID. Wow, how time flies. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to read verse 26 and we're going to work our way down. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you'd like to turn there with me right now, we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God is good. And all the time. Some of you missed it already. I'm going to do it again. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Read with me, church. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. There's an old saying, God does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. The Apostle Paul, he writes to the church in Corinth. And Paul uses an amazing scripture here. Paul is actually used in an awesome way. He's used in so many things. It's through the life of the Apostle Paul, who tells us, the Gentiles, right? Thank God for Paul, amen. Paul, who tells us, the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of God. God used Paul to unfold the mysteries of Christ. And God used Paul to write most of the New Testament. And I want to talk about this. I've entitled the sermon, The Chosen. Because how and who God uses is a reflection of his character. I'm going to say that again. Who and how God uses is a reflection of his character. This morning I want to look at the kind of people, the types of people God chooses to use. God chose Paul, and the amazing thing about that is Paul helped the movement of Christians being slaughtered, being killed. So I don't know where you're at in your life, but if you ever had that thought that God can't use me
because I've done some horrible things in my life. Let me tell you this morning, God can use you if you let him. God took Paul from a wretched place. Who here can testify this morning, even sitting at home, that God took us from a wretched place, from a disgrace to an amazing grace? God picked Paul out. He drafted him, right? Used him. What's so scary and mind-blowing is all the people that God didn't choose to use. You know, while I was preparing this sermon, I couldn't help but to think of a football field. And church, I'll be honest, I thought of you and me, our sound guy, the security, everyone involved in the locker room. And we're there, we're huddling, we're getting ready to hit the field of life. Right? We've been cooped up in our homes and we've been listening to sermon after sermon. Matter of fact, we've been listening to more sermons than we probably have ever listened to in our lives, right? We're ready. We're prepared. Let's go. Let's do this. We can't wait to leave our homes. Let's get back to church and let's hit the streets for Jesus, right? But it's been said that when sometimes the team huddles and does their hoorah, as they're going out to the field and there's the crowd and the team that they know is pretty good, sometimes a little fear, a little intimidation, doubt can hit if we're honest. And the good players have even said, yes, I experienced this in my life. Matter of fact, every time before a game, I get nervous. And so I picture us church as we're going out, but now what? We're out on the field, right? The field of life, church. We're running. Let's go. Come on. And now we hit the field, and now what? Am I good enough? Wow, this is a lot bigger than I thought. That team looks pretty strong. Because deep down inside, we really know who we are, right? God used Paul, drafted him. What's so crazy is he didn't choose to use all the religious leaders of that day. He didn't call the high priest when he wanted to use somebody. God didn't call the people who were super spiritual, knew more than anybody and thought they had it all together. No. He chose a jacked up guy like Paul. Actually, in the world's eyes, if you really study Paul had it really going on. Education, status, and even Paul says, that was nothing. He knocked Paul off his horse. You ever been knocked off your high horse in life? Church, you ever been knocked off the high horse? God knocks Paul off his horse on his way to Damascus, blinds him for a few days. You ever felt blinded? God gave him back his sight, filled him with the Holy Spirit, and used Paul to impact the world. Who's ready this morning to know who God chooses? You ready this morning, church? My prayer for all of us is, Lord, use us. Because there were situations God could not use certain people in the Bible. He looked right past them. God forbid, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. In their minds, they thought, but Jesus looked right past them. My prayer is, Lord, we as a church, we want to meet your qualifications. We might not know everything, but Lord, by your mercy, can we meet your qualifications? Because even in my own mind, if I can't even meet the qualifications of the world, right? In the world's eyes, we can fall into this category of not good enough. Have you ever felt like you're not good enough? No? Just me? Okay, well, maybe one day I'll be right there. But for the rest of us, you ever felt like you're not good enough? Ask yourself, am I good enough? Who does God choose to use? There are five traits God is looking for. Five traits. So if you have a pen, a paper, I would encourage you to write these down so you don't forget. Five traits God is looking for. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. Who's ready? Let's go. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world. I want you to write that word, foolish, foolish things. God chooses. I want to hang out with this crowd. I want to hang out with chooses right here. I want to dwell among this. I don't know about you this morning, but I want to park my car in the middle of choose. God chooses people that the world sees as foolish. It kind of doesn't make sense, right? Foolish? I don't want to look foolish. I want to look sophisticated. Right? Foolish. This scripture's not for us, right? No. This one's for somebody else. God chooses the foolish things of the world. And this is hard because I got to remind myself, I can't be so concerned about what people think. I can't be concerned about other people's opinion when it comes to the will of God. We can't be concerned with impressing people. But you see, God wants people who don't mind looking foolish for him. The Greek word for foolish, there's actually three. The first one is dull. You ever been called dull? Dull. The other one is blockhead. Blockhead. Husbands, just nod your head. Yes, been called a blockhead. Yes. Wives, don't say amen. Blockhead. And the last one here for foolish is absurd. Absurd. Somebody say absurd. Absurd. This sermon is absurd. I can't believe Pastor Carlos is preaching this right now. What? Foolish? I'm not foolish. Absurd. I can't believe it. Absurd. Foolish. God is looking for some people who will give him absurd praise, God is looking for people who will give him absurd amount of faith, who will believe in him when it looks crazy to other people, when it looks foolish to other people. When we say, God, I'm not depending on myself, Lord, I depend on you, because I know based on my human reasoning, this does not make sense. You ever been there? This does not make sense, God. What did you say? What do you want? Why am I feeling to... This doesn't make sense. Have you ever said that to God? I'm about to make a decision in my life, and oh my gosh, people are laughing at me. People are talking behind my back. But God, I'm going to do what you say. Lord, I've been asked to step into this role. Lord, I've been, and I'll be honest, Lord, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. You know, it's really bad when you use that illustration and it's backwards. I'm not the sharpest shed in the tool. You know, it's really bad. I've heard someone say that. I said, yep, that God can use that one right there. Amen. When we're not filled with the wisdom of the world, God says, I want to choose that kind of person who might not have IQ. It doesn't measure up with what the world says it needs to be. But God says that's okay, because that's the kind of person I would like to use to put to shame the wise. The rest of the verse right here, to put to shame the wise. God says, I know they're smart, but I can't use them because they're going to think the wisdom came from themselves, that their wisdom got them where they are. Yeah. God says, yeah. It says right here. He said, he calls them wise. But he says the foolish things to put to shame the wise. And that's what got our world jacked up in the first place, is because the wisdom of human beings not depending on God. God says, I'm looking for some people who will not depend on their own human reasoning. Because if you think about it, church, God's perspective and wisdom and thinking is so different than ours. It's so different from the world's perspective. God's thinking is so opposite from the world, right? The world says 1 + 1 + 1 equals... What? Help me out, church. Yeah, that's why you need to pray for me. 1 + 1 + 1 equals what? 3. But God says 1 + 1 + 1 can equal 1. It's foolish, right? I can't explain it to you. I can try to describe it to you. I don't know how to show it to you, but the Father plus the Son plus the Holy Spirit equals 1. It doesn't make sense. Some would say it's foolish. In the world's wisdom, 100% minus 10% equals 90%, which is less than 10%. But in God's economy, 100% minus 10% equals having all your needs met according to his riches and glory. Get that one in your head. This doesn't make sense. All the church wants is my money. No, God just wants your heart. In the world's theology, if they sue you for your coat, sue them back. Right? In God's theology, if they sue you for your coat, give them your sweater too. Foolish. God says, I'm looking for some foolish people. How about this? I know some of the younger people at home right now, like, oh, sue me for my coat. Okay, how about this? If they dislike you on Facebook, dislike them back. If they stop liking your post, stop liking their post back. God says if they sue you for your coat, give them your sweater too. In the world's theology, if they smack you on your cheek, hit them back. In God's theology, if they smack you on your cheek, turn the other cheek. God chooses the people who look foolish to the world. What saddens me is some people will never experience what God has for them because they're too prideful and too arrogant to be foolish before God. What did he just say? Some people will never experience what God has for them because they're too prideful and arrogant to be foolish before God. He'll skip right over us because we're too cute, right? We want to be cute. You know, we'll get in his word, but just don't want to worship him too loud. We don't want people seeing us reading the Bible when we're at work. We'll say grace, but bow our head real quick, right, and fast. Hopefully not offending anybody because don't want to do that. Carlos is being so absurd right now. I can't believe he's saying this. Oh, my gosh. Hey, we don't want to offend people because we don't want to seem foolish praying to a God who we can't see, right? Praying to a God who we can't see to believe in him for a miracle so people can't see. But because we're afraid of what people might think or say or do or offend, we don't want to look foolish. And because of that, we can't be used for our full potential. Absurd. 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 But that's not the only kind of person God chooses to use. Let's just keep going down this verse. Verse 27. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And God chooses the weak, write that down, weak, the weak. It's number two, to put shame the things which are mighty. The word weak means to be without strength. Here's what God's saying. Sometimes I don't use the strongest people. I don't pick the fastest people, but I pick the weak ones, the ones who are hurting. Who's hurting this morning? The ones who are in need, the ones who are sick, because the mighty ones depend on their own power. God wants to pick people who recognize on their own strength, they don't got it. God's looking for people who come to him and say, without you, God, I can't do anything. God wants to take the ones who have all the power and all the strength and say, those ones, yeah, the ones who think they're going to be, you know, God's going to take the weak ones, the ones who are not supposed to win, the ones who are not supposed to be in first place, the ones who are not supposed to be lifted up. God says, I can use and I can choose them. The weak. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I hope this encourages you. If you're in a situation in life getting ready to do something, step into something that God's calling you to do, a new job, and you know you're in a spot where you know you're not qualified, right? You know you don't meet the world's criteria. I want to tell you right now, if God's will, you're a candidate for God to choose to use. You're a candidate for God to choose to use. Right? You're not supposed to get the job. You're not supposed to get the promotion. And you know on your own strength you don't got it. But it's when we recognize that no matter how much skill we have or don't have, about a certain thing, and God who takes away. It's when we recognize that no matter how much information, skill, experience we have or don't have about a certain thing, it is God, not us, who gives, and He can take away. Verse 28. And the base things of the world. God chooses the base things. I call this the, when you look up the word base, I call this one the low ones. The word low means unknown. It means in the Greek to be unknown and without kin. These are people who no one knows, right? People's never heard about them. And without kin, what does that mean? Without kin, I looked that up. Without kin, you ever best way to describe it? You ever have some family members or some cousins that you don't want no one to know that you're related to, or maybe you're that person that your family doesn't want anyone to know that they're related to you. You know, that's that Jesus freak over there. Yeah, we don't know him. We don't know. You're the last one to be invited if you are invited, you know? One of those things. Yeah, he doesn't, you know. Yeah, she doesn't. Yeah, we don't know. God says, I can choose that right there. I can use. In the Greek, it even goes a step further. It says the low quality. Ooh, low quality. Foolish, because when I go for a job interview, I don't know about you, but they don't want low quality. God says, I could take the low quality, the inferior ones, the ones who don't measure up. God says, He takes joy in elevating those ones. You know, what blows my mind is I never read where Peter said to Jesus, wow, Jesus, this is confirmation. The scribes and Pharisees just talked to me the other day, said that you can use me and you're here. No, they looked right past them. God says, I take joy in elevating the low ones. Verse 28, and the things which are despised, God, not man, God has chosen. God picks the despised ones. He picks the people who are considered to be nothing. This is a tough pill to swallow because me, myself, don't want to be considered as nothing. I don't want to be considered as unknown, low, foolish. But I realize without God, I'm all these. God picks the people who are dissed, despised. Listen, don't think so bad of yourself. if someone has disliked you or despises you, you know, they kick you to the curb, they leave. Right? That's their loss. Pray for them. You know, maybe you've gotten fired off your job. You know, in the last year, you're upset because they didn't like you, especially when you know you did your job as if you were working unto the Lord. Right? When you know you have been working unto the Lord. And for some reason, just remind yourself that means God has something better for you. You are a candidate for God to choose and use. God loves to use people who have been despised. If you're listening into this podcast, I don't care where you're at, what part of the world, how far you've gone. If you've been despised, God says, I can use you. I want to choose to use you. The despised things. Despised. Verse 28. Let's continue reading. Verse 28. And the things which are not, go and write that down, are not. Wow, it just keeps getting, man. These are the ones who are unrecognized. You know people who don't get honored? Everybody else on the job got the promotion, but you. Everybody else got recognized, but you. You ever been there? Everyone else got the reward, right? Everybody else got the bonus. Everyone around you is being lifted up, but you. Never calling out your name. You're not being identified. Listen to me before I go further. Don't waste your time with trying to identify with this world. Find your identity in God. There's so many places in Scripture, and we could be here for weeks talking about all the people that God has chosen to use. People who have been rejected. People who have failed. People who have sinned greatly. Jacob. Gideon. Paul. The disciples. David. Ruth. And some of these have one common statement. They have one common statement that seems they all know and they all have, and it's that statement, I am the least of these. I am the least of these. They saw themselves as less than being qualified. Why doesn't God use the strongest? Why doesn't God use the baddest, the most gifted, the most talented, the smartest, the bravest? God chooses the ones who are unlearned because he's not concerned, again, with the secular wisdom. He chooses those who are weak, right? He chooses those who view themselves little. He takes those who put themselves in the back of the line and moves them to the front of the line. He says, I want to use the foolish ones. I want to use the weak ones. I want to use the low ones. I want to use the despised ones. I want to use the unrecognized ones. And my question is, why? And my question is obviously answered as I read the next verse. Verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him who are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Verse 31, that it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. God says, I want to use the foolish ones. Number two, I want to use the weak ones. Number three, the low ones. Number four, the despised ones. And number five, the unrecognized ones. And my question is, why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. God wants you to say, it's the Lord who brought me here. And it's the Lord who can take it away. It's the Lord who helped me get to where I am. It's the Lord who gave me. It's the Lord where I draw my knowledge from. The wisdom I do have, if it's any, it's from the Lord. It's God. Who gives? And when we recognize that without him, we got nothing to offer. Why? So his name be glorified. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Church, every day when I wake up, I say, God, if you don't help me, Lord, I need you. I need your help. If you don't give me wisdom, if you don't tell me what you want, if you don't lead me into the right direction. Church, I make no apologies when I say to God, I'm weak. I'm low. I've been rejected. And God, I need your help. And you know what he does? He steps in every single time. And this morning, or afternoon, or evening, if you're ready for the God of heaven to step into your life and give you a love that this world can't offer, give you direction that this world can't seem to give sometimes, this give you a confidence, a boost. a peace that can surpass all human understanding. If that's you this morning, while we sing this worship, while we sing praise, I want you to take this time. Take this time and pray. And let God fill you this morning with Him alone. Not ourselves, not our bank account, not our belongings. Because when we die, we're not taking any of that with us, right? Really, what we have and that will last forever is what we did for God. And we can't do that on our own, right? We need Him. Let Him fill you this morning. As our brother sings, as we go into a time of worship, if you're on the phone with somebody, if you're listening at home, wherever you're at, take this time right now, a few minutes, and pray and ask God to fill you with His confidence, with His strength, with His power, with His dominion, with His salvation. Hallelujah.
This is my desire to honor you, and Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. Every moment I'm awake. my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way in me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, dear Heavenly Father. So I know I mentioned something in the beginning of the sermon about a football field. And I couldn't help but think, but so we get out onto the field, right, church? The field of life. Now, does the whole team play on the field? No. You got the players that are on the field, and you got those who are waiting to be called, those who are. And what's so amazing is every good team that I've seen win a Super Bowl, and even those players who are what they call an MVP player, maybe he may be sick or leg hurt or something, he's in sitting with the team, cheering his team, involved with his team. So whether you are on the field or called to be a pillar, a laity, those who are in the congregation, just know you are just as important, if not more important, than those who are on the field. It's your encouragement. It's your prayers. It's your support. It's your love that get us going. When times are tough, the team is hard, we're hurt, we're bruised, keep going. Hearing the support, hearing the love, I just want to say we appreciate and thank the laity of our church, those who are behind the scenes. It's you. But just know, and I want to warn you, that sometimes the coach, who is God, right? The coach, say, oh my gosh, Pastor Carlos, he's sick. So-and-so, Josh, Luke, Jeannie, Miss Barb, a position needs to be filled for. You just never know what God, the coach, he will come up and say, hey, let's go. let's go. I need you. So-and-so is out for a week or two, or hey, you're needed. Just remember, I've said this before, prepare yourself, fill yourself, because when we get out on that field, the coach might come to you and say, hey, it's your turn now, let's go. It's your turn now, let's go. My prayer is, if the Lord tarries, right, church? If the Lord tarries, that as a church, we are all chosen by God and are used to further his kingdom and take this land, not on our own strength, not on our own ability, not on our own wisdom, but his and his alone. I can't wait to play football with you, church. Have a blessed Sunday. Have a blessed morning. Thank you. Amen.
Church, we just want to say thank you again for joining us this morning for Pastor Carlos' sermon on The Chosen. I don't know about you, but I'm fired up. I'm ready to hit the football field with Pastor. Looking forward to this being over with and seeing all of you guys back here with us. If you'd like to know more about Home Church, if you were visiting with us today, or those of you who want to give your tithes and offerings and support the work that God has called us to here at Home Church, please visit us at our website, homechurchnv.org. We hope that you join us next week for our special Mother's Day celebration. We're looking forward to seeing all of you in the parking lot next week. We just hope that you guys have a blessed day today. Thank you again for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Searching for that crazy missing part, and with one touch, you just rolled away the stone.